You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, I just wanted to share this quickly. This just broke on Twitter, talking about last night's election results. Mm-hmm. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said this about 30 minutes ago about the elections last night. Quote, "I don't think the loss last night was any reflection about Republicans at all. I think people are frustrated and angry as we are. I am, the president is, and we express that in different ways."
Unquote. Imagine having that ability to just absolutely.
I want to borrow some of whatever that is.
Yeah, that is amazing.
I'm lacking there, but anyway, we are delighted to be joined by our next guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is here. Good morning, Darren. How you doing?
Oh.
Darren is unable to hear us, apparently.
Yeah, I don't think Darren can hear us.
I think not.
We're going to work on getting that taken care of. Darren, can you hear us? Thumbs up. All right, we're going to have him call in. But yeah, he's going to be joining us to talk about all things going on in the farming world and specifically about things like
China.
We're going to talk about China. We're going to be talking about the shutdown. And
how this is affecting Wisconsin farmers.
Yeah.
This is from the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, how the government shutdown is impacting farmers when the federal government starts a new fiscal year. Because of this government shutdown, some federal services remain operational, others go dark, and the longer the shutdown lasts, the more severe the disruptions become. We are in day 36 now of the government shutdown, the longest shutdown in history.
I believe so, yes.
This is the second longest one compared to the first one under Donald Trump.
And this is the third one total.
Under Donald Trump.
Yeah. We're still working on getting Darren Von Ruden on the show to get us to call, but we will be talking to him about that, about the fact that this has not been very good for the farmers, which are already having a hard time as it is, as far as the farm bill goes, as far as the fact that we now have a bailout on the way. But right now we are joined by Darren Von Ruden. Darren, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate you.
Yep, thanks, Greg. Good to see you, Jane. Sorry.
No worries. I screw up your name on a weekly
basis.
Did
I call him Darren?
I pretty much misname you all the time, so you can call me Frank. I don't care, Darren. It doesn't matter. No, let's talk about the government shutdown, which is, again, in day 36 now, and what this is doing particularly to farmers, because you're the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You hear from folks just like you. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, it's been a lot of frustration. Number one, looking at the time of year it's happening, it's harvest season. Farmers that have FSA loans or need insurance dollars to cover issues, crop losses, things like that. The FSA offices were closed, so even though a farmer had a check in their hand, couldn't take it to their banker because the FSA office had to sign off on it to be able for that farmer to be able to cash that check or use that check. That has changed in the last week, 10 days here. Now they did open up offices to be able to get that process done. So that's helped farmers. But certainly there was 3 weeks there that farmers were really uncertain if they were going to be able to harvest their crop, number one, but take care of their finances that they need to on a monthly basis. And the other big issue that we're hearing too is looking at the healthcare issues, what's going on there with rural community hospitals. Telehealth is something that a lot of farmers like to use, and it means not having to spend that hour on the road to an appointment, the hour back home. If that can happen, that's great. you know, and that's beyond farmers too. There's a lot of senior citizens that would like to be able to use that, that no longer can use it. Certainly, you know, the real big issue right now is the tariffs and how those are affecting folks. And with the shutdown, that information isn't always available neither. So what does tomorrow's markets look like versus next week's market? And, you know, a real frustration out there of just not being able to get information when we need it.
I can't even imagine how difficult it is. But, you know, farmers are a business like so many other businesses. You can't plan. You cannot plan ahead with the situations that we have right now. And with the tariffs going up and down, and there's deals and there's no deals. And I can't even imagine how frustrating it is. And I would also imagine, Darren, that some of the frustration is kind of spread evenly across the board for Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, we're certainly starting to hear some more of that now, and especially since the introduction of the Argentinian beef and the president saying that he's going to quadruple that. I've heard more beef farmers speak up in the last 3 weeks than I've heard in the 9 months that he's been in office, and really frustrated that the market did what it did. When there's an introduction like that, it fell. I was out in Montana this past weekend for their state convention and talked to one gentleman that they had 100 beef cows or beef cattle that were going for auction. And at 5 to 12, there was a certain price. And at quarter after 12, when his cattle went down the road, he lost $100 a head on those things. You know, and so at 100 head, you know, it's a big chunk of change that just disappeared. And, you know, that shouldn't be something that is done by the President of the United States. You know, we've got to figure out how we can get some more normality and really put the marketplace in a market-driven situation versus the whims of the president of the country.
Well, farmers certainly understand economics, and I would think just at the most basic level, when our farmers are struggling, the last thing you do is bring in produce from another country to yet again undercut our own farmers, which is what Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah, and especially in a situation like this, you know, the beef herd has been dropping because of weather-related issues.
Yes.
For the most part. It isn't like farmers are overselling, but when you have fires and droughts that force farmers to sell their animals earlier than they want to, mainly on the drought situation, or, for instance, the blizzard of 2018 or 19, I think it was in South Dakota, that there was tens of thousands of animals that perished in that blizzard because it came up faster than what they thought. So farmers weren't able to get the animals in and they just perished. And, you know, in the last couple of years, we've had fires in the Texas Panhandle in Oklahoma that have had cattle that deceased in that too. So that herd, it's going to take a while to build that herd back up. Beef animals only reproduce one, if you're lucky, two animals every 9 months. And it's actually only every year because you got to have a 2 to 3 month period of rest in there before try to breed them again to get, you know, that next offspring off. So, you know, chickens and poultry and swine, they can reproduce at a lot faster rate than what the beef industry can. And, you know, the biggest fear that farmers are fearing right now is what if the administration allows live animals to come in the country from another country that has foot and mouth disease or anything else that we're trying to keep out of this country. We need to make sure that we can keep our herd safe, but also the customers too, because most of those diseases you don't want in this country, and we've been able to keep it out.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we are talking to Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Farmers Union here in Wisconsin. And he joins us the first Wednesday of every month to talk about everything going on, the big news stories coming out of the farming world. And something, we spoke to Hans Breitenmoser last week about this because he is a beef producer. And on, you know, I think of what Donald Trump said about buying beef from Argentina, and then the AG secretary saying, we want to expand the abilities for people to become ranchers and beef producers if they'd like, which I don't know, Darren, you live in this world. I've never heard anyone wake up in the middle of the night and say,
I'm going to be a rancher.
I'm going to be a rancher today. I think it's about looking at the beef producers we have here in America and making sure they have exactly what you guys always tell us you want, which are markets. You want markets to put your products up for purchase, to make money, to continue doing the thing that you've been doing for 1, 3, 7 generations. But it seems like every time they come with a solution, it seems to miss the mark absolutely, and it's like they're not listening to you at all.
Yeah, you know, and that getting into anything in agriculture right now, there certainly is a small percentage of people that wake up and say, hey, I want to be, you know, a corn farmer, I want to be a dairy farmer, I want to be a beef farmer. Mm-hmm. But reality sets in, and when you need a couple million dollars to get started in it, it's a totally different aspect at that point. And, you know, there's certainly it's farmers out there that are retirement age that want to help, you know, if the next generation is there on the farm, keeping the family, but, you know, want to keep the production agriculture as a part of the farm that they worked so many years to keep in business and keep going. So how do we do that? You know, there's enough people in this country that want to do that. We shouldn't be looking to residents from another country to do that. And, you know, especially in the light of some of the immigration enforcement that's out there, you know, it seems like there's some handpicking that we should allow only certain countries to have their residents move to the U.S. to help with whatever industry it is that they want.
Yeah, they do seem to being a little bit selective. 7,500 South Africans? That's one number that I saw that, we're going to welcome in 7,500 South Africans, yeah. But nobody else. And the whole thing about the fires and the floods and the blizzard, mm-hmm. and all of that, I would also think that farmers first and foremost understand that climate change is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and especially because we deal with it on a regular basis. You know, on our farm, since 2006, we've had 4 major floods, probably 500-year floods, not 100-year floods. They were 500-year floods because of the damage that they did. And, you know, looking at how do we correct that problem, we need to make sure that we're doing what we can as farmers. And there's certainly a lot of farmers that want to do that. And we're seeing a lot of that with the cover crops that are being planted right now, trying to do different practices that are better for agriculture and the environment. You know, the biggest issue right now that we're facing is really the concentration that's happening in agriculture, because when you concentrate, good.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Rudin, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking with our guest, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Rudin, is here. Darren, I wanted to talk a little bit about China and soybeans, and President Trump did meet with
Xi Jinping
and said, we have a deal. Do we have a deal? If what do you know about the deal?
Deal. The bigger question is the volume quantity that is out there. They've promised to purchase 12.5 million metric tons between November and December here now. which is good that they're buying that. But in 2022 or 2023, they purchased just about 27 million metric tons. So that volume is a third of what it is. It sounds like going forward for the next 3 years, they're going to be purchasing 25 million metric tons, but that's still well short of that 27.5 million metric tons. And looking at that process too, population in China continues to grow. So there should be a bigger market for American soybeans. But in reality, we're going to have less of that market because of that volume that has been agreed upon.
And again, this seems... Oh, go on, Darren.
No, I think that was just an echo.
Okay. And it also seems like the fact that they're buying this amount is because the president actually met with the president of China, too. For a while, there was no problem with China buying nothing from us with regard to soybeans. And now they've brokered this quote-unquote deal... when really what they should have been doing was over the past how many years pushing to expand the markets of our soybeans and try to capture some of those markets we lost in his first term
right.
because of the loss of that marketplace. Argentina started, Brazil started selling soybeans. Selling soybeans to China because we couldn't provide them because China wasn't buying them from us, and we never got those markets fully back again. So it feels like he's doing this as a way of saying, all right, we've got you covered, when they should have had them covered for years. This should never have been a problem. There should never have been a zero soybean market in America for that country. And that, I don't know, not too little too late, but certainly not enough.
Well, and I think there's more and more farmers are saying a little bit too late on this too, because we know that we've lost that market. China's actually building ports in South America and making sure that they have a good solid provider of the soybeans, corns, different things that they need, because they just don't see the U.S. as a good market anymore or a good partner in the process of making sure that we got an adequate supply for their own people's needs.
And isn't that a problem with a lot of these things, Darren, is that our trade partners now are leery of dealing with us because we have such a capricious person in the Oval Office who can change his mind from one day to the next. So I can understand why other countries are like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to deal with those guys. They don't seem to be very consistent.
Yeah. And we're hearing that from different trade delegations that have been traveling and doing what they normally do on a yearly basis around the world, that the partners aren't as willing to have some of the discussions that they used to have. Now, if you've got a really strong relationship and the tariffs are, small enough, those partners are probably going to continue working together. But certainly all it takes is for one thing coming out of the White House to say something against a particular country or company, and that can change those markets, in seconds for the industries that we so love here in the United States. And I know right now we're hosting a Polish delegation here at our state office headquarters in Chippewa Falls, and that's one of the big questions is, how reliable is your business partners going to be dealing with, everything in the countries, not just agriculture, but all the other products that they might want to buy from us. They just don't know that they can trust us as a business partner anymore.
And that just makes me think of the future, all things being equal and going towards the direction of democracy. If the next president is anyone but Donald Trump or part of that movement, the amount of work they are going to have to do to fix these relationships over the course of their first term. I mean, we saw Barack Obama had to go around the world to reinvigorate people's enthusiasm about America. Whomever that person is for 2028, they're going to be spending the next 4 years
trying to fix
everything and say, we are worthy of your trust and your business.
Right. Yeah. And that's the big thing is trust. And if you don't have trust within a relationship, partnerships, things go backwards in a hurry. And we're seeing, we haven't seen all of the worst of it yet. I think we're still going to be seeing a lot more because we have some of our best allies are really starting to question the American integrity at this point.
Yeah.
Darren Von Rudin is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren, we didn't even have time to talk about the dairy modernization bill, which we will get to next time we have you on.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you so very much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. It's always very insightful. Darren Von Rudin, again, our guest this morning. News is coming up next. And then when we return, a little audio sorbet and the invention of the flux capacitor. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, around 10:53, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Clone Zone edition. I'm not happy.
I know you're not.
Should not be.
It should really not be a thing.
It really shouldn't be. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. Right now, though, this is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about sillier things. I was surfing around last night trying to find something to watch, and what came up but the classic?
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Saw that in the theaters.
I did too.
I saw it three times in the theater.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
And I did not realize until I watched the movie last night that the flux capacitor invented by Dr. Emmett Brown was invented on this date in 1955.
That's amazing.
Isn't it, though?
That's 70 years.
It's a long time. We have a clip from that classic movie, Back to the Future. Calvin, can you play that clip, please? It is still such a great movie.
It's so very fun.
It is.
When it comes to time traveling movies, it is so much fun. And it's one of those films where, and luckily the gentleman who co-wrote it, Bob Gale, I believe his name is, has stated as long as he is alive, there will never be a fourth movie.
Good.
Because this is we don't need that. We don't need the further adventures of the McFlys. We don't need this. It's perfectly encapsulated in three movies.
Yes.
And let it live in our memory and in our hearts forever. Don't think we need it, therefore make it, therefore disappoint us.
Yeah, exactly. And to kind of piggyback along with this, this is really pretty cool, and we'll include this in the show notes so you can look at it. Mm-hmm. But Drew Struzan painted the iconic posters for Back to the Future and Indiana Jones. He just passed away recently at the age of 78. He painted these.
And not just those movies.
Right. He did a whole bunch of them. All the Back to the Future movies.
Yep.
He did Blade Runner, Goonies, Indiana Jones, Hook with Robin Williams, Harry Potter, hand-painted these posters. And when you look at them, they are really, really beautiful. But I guess the assumption was just that these were all computer-generated.
Which I don't even, I mean, forgive me for not knowing this, but I couldn't imagine that in the 70s and 80s at least, they had the
wherewithal. That kind of technology.
I'm looking at his filmartgallery.com page where you can find some of these posters, and these are originals and they are expensive.
Pricey.
Yeah. There's one here for $3,600 for a Revenge of the Jedi, which you might be saying to yourself, isn't it Return of the Jedi, Greg? And that's where I'll say, obviously you don't know the lore of the third film. Thank you very much.
Excuse me.
But you scroll through this, and if you know these movies, you remember these posters being up at the movie theater.
Yes.
And these are frameable quality paintings.
They're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And not all of them are hits.
No, I mean, a lot of them were hits.
A lot of them were hits. But what I like is that it wasn't about being the it guy. Like, I will only do these posters. I mean, there's Police Academy, which, say what you will about the movie, the poster looks amazing. There was another one. There was another one here that I don't know if it was incredibly popular, but the posters are fantastic. Oh, the Muppet movie one. Oh, that one's great. But yeah, it brings back all these memories. And I saw Back to the Future 3 times. And I don't know how to ask the questions per se, but like, when you see these posters, what do they invoke in you? What do they bring up for you? Going to the movies, paying your $3, $5, my God.
Back in the day
to see these films and them, they like hanging on your walls in your bedrooms.
And think about how the importance of these posters in selling the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That really makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these, I mean, you look at these posters, they also tell portions of the story. You're looking at the Goonies poster. You look at all the Star Wars posters. They all have their own stories to tell within them. And he was absolutely beloved in this industry. And there's a picture of him. We have I'll include this in the show notes, but there's a picture from the Wall Street Journal article that Drew Struzan dressed as Indiana Jones in his studio, which is part of the process. You know, he painted off that
he posed as Indiana Jones, yeah, and then painted it from that photograph.
That's what I had been told over the years.
And amazing.
This is the Shawshank Redemption poster alone is gorgeous. But that's one of those movies, and I don't know about you, Jane, but one of those movies where Back to the Future, when it's on, I kind of will turn it on at any point. Like if it's the last 10 minutes, I will watch the last 10 minutes.
Absolutely. So yeah. What are movies? You've seen it a billion times and it comes past on the stream and you watch it because it's there.
It's that movie.
It's that movie.
Yeah.
What is your go-to movie that doesn't matter if you've seen it 10 times, 20 times? If it's on, I'm going to watch it. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, talking about movies on today's Audio Sorbet. November 5th, 1955 was the invention of the flux capacitor, which made it possible for time travel, according to Back to the Future. And I got sucked into watching the whole thing last night. And yeah. I know almost all the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could say it along.
There are a lot of great lines from that movie, but the one that always in my brain, he goes, you know, cars running, this, that, flux capacitor, fluxing. I just love yes. that line. Just yes. beautifully delivered by the Canadian wit of one Michael J. Fox.
Yes, Michael J. Fox, who was magnificent. What is your movie? If it shows up on screen, you're going to watch it no matter how many times you've seen it. 855-752-4842. I think A Christmas Story is one of those.
Okay.
Which TBS will probably start running tomorrow. Leading up to Christmas.
I know this is probably a sticking point, but hear me out.
Okay.
The official sequel they made to it, starring the young man who was in it, Peter Billingsley, they came out like 1 or 2 years ago.
Right.
Very sweet.
Is it?
It is very sweet. It doesn't try to be the first movie. It tells the continuing story of Ralphie and what he's doing with his life, I think, in the 70s. Like, it takes place, like, as an adult, married with children. And I went in with it a lot of, like, ugh, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's great.
And I think part of the reason why I enjoy it, it's because it's on TV. And it's low stakes in that. So I'm not going to a movie theater and paying $15 and being like, oh, man.
And yeah, and you feel like you got ripped off.
Really, really enjoyed it.
So. What movie can you watch over and over again, no matter how many times you've seen it? 855-752-4842. Greg from Richland Center, listening on WLCX and La Crosse as Princess Bride.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. One of the most quotable movies on Earth.
Of all time.
On Earth.
I probably use... I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Yes.
All the time.
You keep using that word.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. What is your movie? Roger in Stevens Point says Hoosiers.
There you go.
That's a good film.
That's a good heartfelt team movie.
Yeah. Brett in Brown Deer. I've got two. Red Dawn.
Okay.
Which I admit I have never seen.
He has to say 1984 because they did remake Red Dawn a few years ago and it is not good.
And Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
Okay, oh, Brett, you party animal, you.
That is so funny.
What a dichotomy of film.
Seriously, though.
Two movies I really love. I love Citizen Kane and Car Wash.
You know what I remember from Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke?
Nothing?
I did see that in the theater.
Yeah.
I believe someone spills some comet on a white paper plate.
Yeah.
And one of them licks it.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, wow, it's turning blue. It must be really pure.
Jeez.
I still remember that.
Kids, just say no.
Yeah, don't do that.
Jim from Appleton, listening on WISS, says, my can't turn off movie is The Fifth Element. That's one of those movies, and one of the posters that Drew Struzan designed was Big Trouble in Little China, and that movie originally bombed pretty hard.
It did.
Over the past decades, it has grown to be beloved by people, and cosplay, convention, the whole thing. Yeah, that is The Fifth Element. Is a movie that I've seen it once. I enjoyed it, but my friends worship at the altar of that film.
No kidding.
Yeah.
The movie that you can watch over and over and over again, no matter how many times you've seen it, we are celebrating the invention of the flux capacitor.
Good job, Doc Brown.
On November 5th, 1955, at Dr. Emmett Brown. Al from Campbellsport joining us on the phone. Good morning, Al. What's your flick?
Good morning.
Go
Enemy
ahead.
Enemy of the State.
I beg your pardon?
Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State. Okay. Will Smith, Gene Hackman. Yeah.
Thanks, Al.
Yeah, that's espionage film. That's from like the mid-90s. That was a good movie. Yeah.
J.N.O. Claire, listening in WCFW. It has to be the movie Big with Tom Hanks.
Baseball team was called the Dukes. I love that line so much.
Playing the piano.
Oh my gosh,
the big piano. Liz from Saukville. There are so many movies. When Harry Met Sally. Love that movie.
Yeah.
I just like the vignettes of the couples throughout that film.
Yeah.
I think those are some of the best parts of that whole movie.
I liked when Ted Lasso paid tribute to that too in one of their episodes where it was like rom-com based and they had a couple interviewing how they met,
yes.
And they're at the match, and it's so wonderful. Yeah, it's really, really great.
Movies you watch over and over again, no matter how many times you've seen it. Sean in Madison, listening on WAUK, American Movie. It was the best.
That is a very, if you look that up, that's very, very much Milwaukee. It's about two filmmakers. Yeah.
That's the guy that I'm thinking of.
Yes, exactly the guy you're thinking of, and it's like a documentary about a guy making a movie.
Right.
And Mike has passed away, but Mark is still around.
He's still around, yeah.
And he is still a guy you see around the city of Milwaukee. And every time it happens, it's that guy.
It's that guy.
It's a guy from American Movie. Yeah.
Movies we watch over and over again, no matter how many times we've seen them. Ronnie in Horicon says Popeye with Robin Williams.
Okay.
Wow.
That's where you and I differ, Ronnie. I watched that movie recently, and I'm like, this is a fever dream, this movie is. It is insanity.
Different things for different folks.
Find truth in different places, I guess.
Terry in Waukesha, listening on WAUK, Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I tell you this, take a little side trip here.
Sure.
I knew I loved my wife. I still do to this very moment I do. But we were out of town on a trip, and we had kind of had enough of the day. We were tired. And she says, do you just want to go back to the hotel and watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail? I'm like, I love you so much.
You are my soulmate.
You're my soulmate. I will do anything for you.
That's another movie that I will reference every once in a while. I pass gas in your general direction. So many good movies. Richard, you get the last word from Waukesha on the phone. Good morning, Richard. You got to make it quick, though. Thanks for joining us.
I can't think of the guy's name, but it's called I'm Nobody. It's kind of a John Wick. Kind of thing.
Oh, Nobody. It's called Nobody. It's Bob Odenkirk.
It's a lot of action. It's pretty good, I think.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's a very fun film. Definitely in that 2020 milieu of older gentlemen wronged. I will kill everyone.
And PJ actually getting the last word on the live stream. Blazing Saddles.
There you go.
Mel Brooks forever.
Love that movie.
Thank you, everybody. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Clone Zone Edition. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to break, we were having our audio sorbet discussion about movies you can watch over and over, even though you've seen them a billion times.
Yeah.
And we wanted to share just a couple of ones that came in late on the text line. Kurt in Eau Claire, Christmas Carol with George C. Scott and Lilo and Stitch.
There you go.
Steven in Waukesha on WAUK Field of Dreams.
Oh, boy.
I cry every time when the dad says to his son, you want to go have a catch?
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Going to get all squishy about that?
Feeling feels.
Jack in Merrimack listening on WAUK. I've got two DVDs that are my go-tos. One is To Catch a Thief.
There
with Cary Grant and Grace Kelly. That's
nice.
A good one.
Very nice.
And Inception with Leo DiCaprio. Never seen it.
Oh, that's a movie you have to watch. You have to watch.
And pay attention.
You cannot look at your phone. You cannot do anything else. You must keep your eyes on that film.
Or you're going to get lost.
You probably get lost even if you pay attention.
All
it's
right.
A very, very layered film.
All right. Tom in Wausau listening on WXCO Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
There it is.
An American Werewolf in London, which is another really funny. There's some hilarious lines in that movie.
Yeah.
Great, great film. And John in Oshkosh on WISS, anything with Chris Farley.
There you go.
All right. Thank you for that. Coming up tomorrow, it's Thursday already. I know. Jim Santel will be here, our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review 9 to 11 on Saturdays across the network to talk all things legal. Jim Santel joining us tomorrow at 9:30. Paul Noonan will be here for Audio Sorbet, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, so we can talk all things sports. Bucks had a loss last night. Packers, of course, lost last Sunday. It'll be a better weekend ahead. Better days ahead.
But at least the Brewers aren't playing, am I right?
That's true. It is just about 10:55, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever stumble over a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the New York Times. Headline reads, Tom Brady says he cloned his dog. Cue the critics. Yes, I'm among them.
Yeah.
In retirement, Tom Brady, the former star quarterback, found what he called a second chance. He revealed yesterday his dog, Junie, is a clone of another dog he owned with his ex-wife, Giselle Bundchen, which died in late 2023. He apparently is an investor in Colossal Biosciences.
That doesn't sound like they're going to try to take over the world.
Right? And Viagen, a biotechnology company, which owns the technology rights that was used, or to the technology that was used to clone Dolly the sheep.
Oh, God.
In 1996. So Tom Brady, who is an investor again in this Colossal Biosciences, said he'd worked with the company a few years ago. The cloning process required a simple blood draw from the family's aging pit bull mix, Lua, before she died. In a few short months, Brady says, Colossal gave my family a second chance with a clone of our beloved dog.
While we're on the topic of dogs, if you want to adopt a dog, Matic in Milwaukee is always there for you. You can go to the Humane Society, local or national. Go anywhere you need because dogs need homes and they don't need to be cloned.
And that's what upsets me so much.
Absolutely.
About this, especially because this is a pit bull mix. Pitties sit in animal shelters for long time.
Yeah.
For a long, long time. There are so many pit mixes that need homes that are already alive.
Yeah.
You could have adopted one of those.
We go to a great place. So we go to there's a farmer's market in Kenosha, and there is a great group that does rescuing. And they almost always have pit mixes with them. It's almost always pit mixes.
Yes.
And I am telling you, right, Mastro Mutts. I want to get the name Mastro Mutts. They're inside for the winter for the farmers market in Kenosha. But you can go there. You can donate there. You can adopt there. You can also just go and literally hold and pet puppies. They just want people to come in. They want the
and
dogs
socialize
to feel
them.
Exactly.
Aww.
So I don't understand the point of this.
I don't. When you have way too much money.
Yeah.
It
just doesn't seem like I do not understand why people would do something like that. And honestly, like if you want to do it and you have the money, I guess. But then also, I hope you're donating to places that need the money, or maybe buy someone a dog who wants one. But
it's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, and we don't need it. And Tom Brady, you could spend your money better. And come on, man, be better.
And did you never watch the movie Pet Sematary by Stephen King? I just think you should watch that. I think this is not a good thing.
He really took that one around there.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
All right. Adopt. Don't shop is the whole point. There's my lecture. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwab, Nightlight, 6 to 8, and Robert Pilot, and so much more. Right here, keep it on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.